We're here at Menards Bag Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint.
Batteries.
Tools.
Toilet paper.
Extension cords. Grocery items.
Hardware for my cabinets.
Snack items. Crackers and some canned good stuff.
Shop vac supplies.
Toothpaste, cereal, coffee, dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to
The Real King
with Joe and Heidi King.
So, I got stung by some bees this week.
Yeah, you did.
That was
better you
ridiculous.
Than me.
Ridiculous. It's been years.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, do you remember last time you were stung by a bee?
Last year.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I was going to say, I feel like it's not a common yearly event for most people.
No. Yeah, but I do air duct cleaning.
Yeah,
that's
so
true.
I'm like on roofs by dryer vents.
So how did you know you got stung by the bee?
Because what?
I've gotten stung a lot.
No, but like, what were you doing where you're like, I just got stung by a bee?
Oh, the last time it flew in my truck window, went up my truck sleeve and nailed me in the back of the arm.
But what did it feel like?
Hold on. You just said your truck sleeve.
Yeah.
Truck
window.
Did you
pull up my shirt sleeve?
Did you have your blinker on when that happened?
I must have.
He said it flew in my truck window, went up my truck sleeve. He only wears that shirt in the truck.
Yeah.
And it stung you.
The reason I asked that is because I'm mowing the lawn, and when you're mowing the lawn, it's kind of like vacuuming, where you go into like a different space.
Autopilot.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like your brain's like hearing the mower.
It's how you scare people while they're vacuuming.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And you're just like in your own little world. Yep. And so like I'm just doing my thing.
She likes to mow the lawn, by the way, because
it gets my cardio in.
Yeah. Joe doesn't make her mow the lawn. It's by choice.
It is by choice. In fact, Max has probably been wondering why she keep taking my job.
I only bring that up because remember Nate Bargatze?
Yeah.
He was like, you can mow the lawn to his wife, but you're going to tell all the neighbors that it was your choice.
Right.
But go on.
I like it because it puts me in cardio for the entire time that I'm doing it. Like,
yeah.
I don't have to, like, work up to get cardio. It's like instant cardio.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, so I'm mowing and all of a sudden, like, a pinch on my leg. Like, to the point where I'm like, ah, like, what is that?
Like, how did I move to pinch myself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was on my calf. And I'm like, okay, that's a weird pinch. And then like 5 seconds later, another like hardcore pinch, like
yeah.
on another part of my leg. And I look down and I see bees around my leg. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm getting stung by ground wasps.
What kind of pants were you in?
Like
loose ones?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, not really. They
were
had
you in leggings?
No, they were like just like sweatpants. But like they weren't like
ankle sweats.
They weren't like the heavy like.
Okay, like
they weren't like the heavy Walmart
like wide
sweatpants.
Leg yoga pants kind of.
No, they were the ones with the zippers on the side.
Okay, yep, joggers.
Yes, joggers. They were joggers.
Mm-hmm.
And so I instantly realized I was getting stung by bees, and I full on panicked. So I leave the lawnmower where it is,
running,
and I run to the house, swatting all the bees our way. Okay, and I run into the house, and I immediately undress.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I kept underwear and sports bra on,
right.
But I was like, I ripped my pants
did
off.
Did you have bees in your pants?
I did.
In the house?
Yes. So I ripped my pants off and I ripped my shirt off and like I'm slapping my clothes.
That's, you got stung by a bunch of bees
yeah.
when you were little.
When I was a little kid.
Yeah, they put you in the water and they just kept stinging you.
Okay. So that's why I'm like, I'm pretty sure these are ground wasps because those crazy demonic suckers, they stick with you. Like they don't leave you alone.
So when they sting, they release like a pheromone or something like that that
and
attracts
more,
the
more
other
come.
Bees to that.
Stop it.
That's why somebody can stand next to you while you're getting stung.
And it won't sting them.
And they don't go after them.
I hate that. So I get like fully, you know, like I underwear bra type mode.
Were you like praying in tongues or just running?
Well, and so I'm like running in the house and I'm like making sure like I know what to do. Yeah. Okay. So like I feel like getting stung by a bee is like, what do I do if there's a fire on my stove? Like it's something that you know like from long time ago.
That or like you have a plan.
Like I had no clue.
But like when the time actually comes, you're unable to execute.
Absolutely. It. Yeah. I'm like, my leg is stinging. Am I allergic? I'm not allergic, right? And like my brain is like going down the thing.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden Max walks into the room and I have a underwear and bra. It's no different than a bikini. Okay. Right. In fact, more because I had a sports bra on, so it covered more. But he's like, oh my God, what are you doing? And I'm like, I just got stung by bees. And he's like, oh no, you didn't. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, yes, I did. He's like, you probably just got bit by a bee. I'm like, who gets bit by a bee? Like, they sting you. And that's
wasp can they can bite and sting.
What's hilarious to me is like, did you say that to him at one point?
Probably.
Yeah. He regurgitated. Max didn't know that. Or like, he was just like, no, he didn't.
Well, that ground wasp, so funny that they don't, his... they can repeatedly sting. Like a honeybee has barbs. Once they sting, they're done.
And they're dead then.
Yeah. But a wasp, that thing can come like a little tattoo gun needle.
So, yeah.
Terrifying.
Me and Max then got in a fight.
Yeah, because he's a gaslighter.
He's telling me I got bit and not stung. And I'm like, well, then what are all these welts on my leg, Max? I'm fighting with a 15-year-old. Like, get it together, Heidi.
In your underwear. Yeah.
Like, seriously.
Laura got nailed in the knee at the baseball game.
Yeah.
The thing just landed on her. And it was the funniest thing because she's, how old is Laura?
Third grade, fourth grade.
Yeah, she's got to be like eight.
Seven or eight.
That's second grade.
So we immediately prayed for her.
Mm-hmm.
And in like 3 minutes, she was fine.
Yeah.
And then the Sunday before last, she was trying to testify about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, she did. We helped her.
What would you consider the opposite of a people pleaser?
Me?
Like, what would you call them? Like, speak your mind people?
No.
Like, what would be the opposite? I would tag myself.
Somebody that's negative.
As
like a
people pleaser.
I hate saying the word narcissist because every person that's got too much time on their hands and too much boredom is hyper-focused on the definition of a narcissist right now and people being quote-unquote toxic and things like that. And Jesus never said any of that about anybody. He never turned anybody away for prayer because they didn't have enough faith. He never focused on their negative attributes. He never did any of that.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of saying what is the opposite of a people pleaser or something like that, well, a people pleaser obviously would be somebody that's not confident in who God created them to be and who they are in Christ. And they don't have healthy boundaries. Like, we have to have healthy boundaries.
Mm-hmm. But what type of personality would be the opposite of that? Like, so basically somebody that doesn't care if they please people or not. Like, what kind of person is that?
That'd be your Paul, your Peter. Like, all those apostles in the Bible. They were not, their actions were not warranted by the affirmation of others.
Mm-hmm. So I have always been a people pleaser. Like if someone wouldn't like me or doesn't like me, it would keep me up at night. I would take that very personal and I'd be like, but why? Like, why don't you like me? Why is this an issue? And every single time I would do something for somebody, I would want to make sure that I did it my absolute best so that I pleased them and that they gave me like a smile for it. And what I've noticed as I've been growing in Christ is that you can't be that people pleasing person and have the stuff that needs to be said come from the gospel at the same time. And there's been like this conflict that's been going on because I always consider that if I tell somebody something that I feel is right per scripture, I'm going to hurt their feelings or I'm going to step on toes or I'm going to make somebody upset. and they're not going to like me. And I'm supposed to be an image and representation of Christ. So therefore, I'm now putting a bad image on Christ. And this is how demonic things can actually turn that into something that it's not. Because the Bible says that we need to love everybody, that we need to love your neighbor as yourself, right? That you pray, you just love them and they're going to get out of it. But I think a lot of the times people are actually misunderstanding the word love. Because if you let somebody continue down a bad path and you basically watch them literally destroy their lives and you sit back with a bag of popcorn and you say nothing about it, do you really love that person? Because
no,
they will literally go to hell if you don't say something. And it's been an area that's been troublesome for me because I don't like ruffling feathers. I don't like getting in deep like that. I like high level, peaceful, lovable discussions. And so many times in the Bible, scripture after scripture, it's been conflict.
Scripture says, be ye imitators, not hearers only. Has God ever ruffled your feathers?
Yeah.
Right. So your addiction to comfort and your entitlement to not have opposition or the problem is we tend to have a flawed definition of acceptance. You have an audience of one. Your only audience in everything you do is God. You have Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father, building a case for you. So, Christina, as somebody with a degree in communication, mm-hmm. what is the difference between loving somebody and liking somebody?
Yeah.
Because I can love somebody. Can I love somebody without liking them?
Yeah. You can love people that by default, like your biological relatives. Oftentimes you love them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like your siblings, you grow up together, you love them.
Yeah.
And like when the rubber meets the road, you love them.
Yeah.
And you're going to stand by their side. But there are times where anybody,
you know,
that's I have a lot of unlikable qualities.
Most people do.
Because of my entrance into the kingdom through that narrow way and that narrow gate
mm-hmm.
put me in a position where I can't see just allowing somebody to eke through without hearing good news.
Mm-hmm.
And good news doesn't sound like good news until you receive it.
Even the disciples, they loved one another and they even loved Jesus and Jesus loved them. But there were times where they just didn't like each other.
Yeah.
And that's evident.
Mm-hmm.
And not that Jesus didn't like them, because obviously Jesus was without sin and he was able to see people for something that they couldn't even see themselves as.
Yeah.
Right. Like Mary Magdalene.
Yeah.
And, you know, the woman at the well. And there's literally all the gospels give you many examples of how he could see the potential in someone that they couldn't see in themselves.
Yeah.
I think that it's very interesting to bring up the idea of people pleasing, because a lot of people are empathetic and you can show empathy and you can let another person win one once in a while.
Yeah.
Right. But then there's a flip side where people can prey on those who are
people
pleasers and they can manipulate them.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of walk all over them knowingly.
Yeah, because we're not, usually people pleasers are not going to put up a fight.
They're good employees because you can actually promote them and reward them with titles instead of compensation.
Right.
Yeah. And
so when I said me, what I mean by that is like at work, it's a well-known fact. I don't care what you call me, just pay me more.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like I don't need all the pomp and circumstance necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need the fanfare, but just pay me what I'm worth. I've said that, you know, and I've also said I'm acting my wage, right?
<Yeah. laughs>
At work, I say that type of a thing. And I would consider myself to be less of a people pleaser because, believe it or not, at work, I'm more of a rule follower than I am anything. Even down to like dress and decorum. And so I think it's more important to me that we, not without reason, right? Like not to an extreme, that people like follow the rules or like the best practices that we've established. Mm-hmm. Like there has to be flexibility there. But when it doesn't cost me anything personally, like I'm not bothered by saying, no, we can't do that. But you and I just talked about this while we were eating. Mm-hmm. I don't flat out tell people no in a way that I know is going to be antagonistic. Mm-hmm. Right? You can resist being a people pleaser without being antagonistic. So there's two sides. That's what I was getting at. There's two sides. There's somebody that has empathy and like they're very sensitive and tender and it really bothers them, like you were saying, to think, okay, this person doesn't like me or I've offended this person. You don't ever want to be, there's like two extremes, right? There's that where it like really upsets your whole life. And then there's the opposite spectrum where people are really, they're antagonistic.
Yeah, they look for it.
And it's, they're so dedicated to like being the opposite of a people pleaser.
Yep, proving a point.
And on the other side, on the person who like has the need, you have the same thing. You have the two extremes. You have the person who like either is super dependent on everybody and genuinely dependent and like just wasn't taught to or doesn't know how to stand on their own. Or you have the other person. A lot of times we talk about like weaponized incompetence. You know, like they use that type of thing and they'll like manipulate people because they know that they can. So you have, it's difficult because you have the two poles basically on both of those roles. So myself, I know that I could be cold and antagonistic, but I've had to work and strictly professionally speaking, I had feedback. Like on my annual reviews where they like send that out to people, I would often get feedback saying that I'm too harsh, too direct, too cold in my delivery for many years. I don't think until recently that I've ever had a review that didn't say that at least once. From that's like my peers, my colleagues, people I work with providing that feedback. So I made it a personal goal to try to develop my soft skills. So like when you and I were talking earlier, I'm able to say no to somebody and it's a pretty firm no, but it's not a, it's, I don't say the word no. Do you know what I mean? And you have to have truth with grace and grace with truth.
So the love with, who says, you say something,
me.
What do you say?
Love. You have to have love and truth and love. Love without truth. There's an actual quote, is basically useless. And truth without love is brutality.
Yes.
Yeah.
So when I was kind of talking about that and how I need to kind of get out of that mindset, because like I'll see somebody that's like having like obviously a major issue, and instead of like still listen to the Holy Spirit, obviously. Yeah. Like you don't need to go out there like a wrecking ball and just go insane and tell everybody they're going to hell, because that's not going to help anybody.
No.
But at the same time, if like the Holy Spirit would ever like kind of prick me or anything like that, and I was just like in a situation, I'm like, I have no area to judge these people right now. I'm just going to pray for them. Like that's kind of like my go-to that I kept going to. And one day Joe was like, oh, I made a comment because I was talking about a situation I was in and how I did that. And I basically just sat there and I said nothing in this conflict of situation that was around me, because I said, I'm keeping the peace. Because as like, I'm a very peaceful person in general. Like I don't look for fights. I'm not a fighter. Like I just, I go with the flow and I like to please. It's just who I am. I like to please people and I like to make everybody happy, to the point where like even at night, if I would be in discord with you, for example, and we would leave on weird terms, I would have trouble sleeping. I need that, like, okay, love you, bye.
Yeah.
Type text, and then I can go to sleep peacefully.
And I know that about you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, you're saying that you're just trying to keep the peace in this conflict of a situation, but you're not keeping any peace because there's no peace in you or the other parties in that room that's involved. There's actually zero keeping of the peace. Mm-hmm. Like, what if at that moment you would say something that would actually break that demonic thing that was happening and actually be able to bring peace into the situation?
Weren't you and I talking about this?
Yeah.
Yeah, because blessed are the peacemakers. I almost wish it would say peace.
Well, you have to make peace. You cannot
call. You have to make peace. Yes. Mm-hmm.
You cannot call your quietness peace at the cost of truth.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are here as a militant force, an embassy of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross to make peace. And the Bible says that we believers, those of faith, will take the kingdom of heaven by force.
Mm-hmm.
This idea that you're going to quietly show through your body language that you're a Christian or whatever is the biggest lie the devil's got the modern church to believe. We're not in any place in the Bible called to keep our mouth shut at the cost of truth.
Yeah.
It says that we will be persecuted. So when we have truth, so if I'm called to intercession and I'm called to go into my prayer closet and pray, that's very different than being fully engulfed and involved in a social situation and leaving that, knowing the truth, because truth sets people free. So if I voice the truth and I plow ground and it doesn't feel good, that ground is now prepared for seed to go in.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I exit the situation, God will put a planter in there.
Yeah.
So there's a huge difference between being a peacemaker and keeping the peace and just going to your place of comfort and your place of rest. The Bible says that God will prepare a table for you in the midst of your enemies. That means you're going to be there long enough in confrontation where you're going to need a break and a meal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we were just at like a social gathering. This is a good example of Heidi and I and our personality differences. You were visiting with somebody else, but Heidi and I were in a situation where there was someone talking to us and they were like swearing every other word, like using the F-bomb.
It was a manifestation because it was 98% spirit-filled Christians and a couple of people that were they were drinking and they were they were in a very specific spiritual atmosphere with each other. One of those people I know is trying to make a way towards God. The other one was there with that person.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was more of a manifestation than anything.
It's interesting. So it went on for a while. And then I can only take so much. And what I typically do is I say the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I also say it in a way that's like kind of funny, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, you're really letting it fly there, bud. Like, you're swearing a lot and I'm a lady, so you need to not talk to me that way. And Heidi wanted to die 1,000 deaths at that moment.
See, and the cost that was going on there was there was a lot of children around.
There was a lot. There was a lot of children.
It's crazy how much stuff that we do.
But I could also tell that the host was uncomfortable that he kept doing that, but didn't know what to say in the moment. And did I say the right thing? I don't know. It didn't actually help.
But you still said something. Like, that's kind of what, like, we're hitting on tonight.
So yesterday, Heidi made me bring Jasmine to piano, right?
Yeah.
And I was talking to some ladies at this church, and it turned into a thing. We were talking about things that kids pick up on. And when this piano teacher said to Jasmine, "What's your background?"
She was talking
in a musical, you know, like, have you been classically trained in your 10 years of life? Mm-hmm. Have you had any experience with the keys at all?
What did Jasmine say?
She brought out the Lynette King,
yeah,
like greatest
hits.
Yeah,
do you want to know her exact words?
Yes.
"I'm Pentecostal by experience."
Meaning I speak in other tongues. And so this lady was born and raised in the Pentecostal church, and she's like,
I'm taking that.
Yeah, she told me she's used that so many times when she's like trying to explain her faith. But this is the thing, is that child was around that. Mm-hmm. That was something that was in discussion, that was a seed planted, and nobody knew that was going to manifest fruit.
Right.
Out of a 10-year-old, mm-hmm. talking to adults about music, and what came out of her spirit was a seed that was planted about her identity in Christ.
It's interesting because, you know, Jesus was a pot stirrer. Mm. He stirred the pot.
Yeah, he let people's demons go into pigs, which destroyed their income.
That, but he also was like...
did miracles on the Sabbath, like...
Yeah. You know what I mean? Did miracles and said, go and tell no one.
Stuff that was going to, like, you know.
He did not just go along with the status quo.
No.
He upset things. But he was still gracious and kind and loving.
In a very loving, compassionate, merciful manner.
He called the Pharisees vipers to their face.
Yeah, John the Baptist. So they came down and he's like, brood of vipers.
Brood of vipers.
My bad. I always confuse those two. I've just been in the church my whole life. I know nothing.
No, we only know it because we just read it.
We did just read it. And we got into like a huge discussion on it because we're like, the Pharisees were coming down to get baptized by John the Baptist. And like, he just looks at them and said, "You brood of vipers." Yeah. Like, who told you?
There you go. John the Baptist was quite brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was born with the Holy Spirit. So what does that tell you about having the gifts of the Holy Spirit?
Okay. Yeah. So John the Baptist, perfect example. Because
like, he was a little nut.
That man, you can't tell me there was not love in that man.
Oh, yeah. Fierce.
Fierce love in that man.
Yeah.
But yet he told everybody how it was and how it needs to be. And like, that was that.
Yeah.
No one thought he was a mean, hateful man that was, otherwise nobody would want to be getting baptized by him.
Right.
Because he was baptizing many, many, many people.
Yeah.
Like, that man came in and ruffled feathers, but I did it in a graceful way.
This is what I think. I think that when you're going to approach somebody and you need to address sin or address conflict, the prayer should be that God allow you to say whatever you need to make precise cuts.
Yes.
Do you guys want to hear some Jesus words real quick?
Always.
Luke 12:48. "But he who did not know did things worthy of a beating and shall be beaten with few lashes. For everyone to whom much is given, of him shall be much required. And of him who men entrust much, they will require and demand all the more. I have come to cast fire upon the earth, and how I wish that it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and how greatly and sorely I am urged on, impelled, constrained, until it is accomplished. Do you suppose that I have come to give peace upon earth? No, I say to you, but rather division. For from now on, in one house, there will be five divided among themselves, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds of people, when you see a cloud rising in the west, at once you say, it is going to rain, and so it does. And when you see that a south wind is blowing, you say there will be severe heat, and it occurs. You play actors, hypocrites. You know how intelligently to discern and interpret and prove the looks of the earth and sky, but how is it that you do not know how to discern and interpret and apply the proof to this present time?
Mm-hmm.
And why do you not judge what is just and personally decide what is right? Then you go with your accuser before a magistrate on the way to make a diligent effort to settle and be quite free of him, lest he drag you to the judge and the judge turn you over to the officer and the officer put you in prison. I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid every last fraction of a cent. When we think about who Jesus is and the fact that when we get a hold of him, mm-hmm. and we get a hold of truth, there is going to be an upheaval in the spirit realm, and it will cause manifestations in the flesh between family members, between people. You know, like we want to think that loving kindness is just birds chirping and like Snow White walking through the forest and mm-hmm. birds bringing her
that's how I want it to
scarf
be.
Around her neck and letting it lay and
yeah, it's not
and
that
apples
way.
Being yeah. dropped in her hand and she's feeding the deer. Mm-hmm. But what actually happens is God raises up a people that are of light in a world full of darkness.
Yeah.
And we are to be a city on a hill.
Yeah. And if the light is just not shining.
Or flickering.
And not saying anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it can be challenging to not say something. But like I was saying, the precise cuts thing. If you were a surgeon and you knew that you had to perform surgery and you went into the OR with a butter knife and a mallet, not only are you going to not execute well, you're going to cause additional collateral damage.
Yeah, it's going to
become worse. Right?
Yeah.
So you have to pray ahead of time.
Yes.
That God prepare their hearts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That God prepare their hearts.
Yes.
And that he gives you the words to speak.
Yeah.
That will bring them out of it.
Yeah.
Draw them out.
Yeah.
It's like you apply heat and it causes a wound to fester.
Yes.
It comes out. You
yes.
get a sliver out that way.
Yes.
That's how you have to do it. So you have to approach things. You know, have you ever heard that, like where they sandwich something? They're like, you say a positive and then the negative and then the positive.
Mm.
I feel like Jesus did a version of that in that he was like, hey, you're in sin. Where's your husband? Mm. He knew.
Mm-hmm.
And he was calling her out.
Mm-hmm.
But he also, I feel like, was like.
Then he was like, where's your first husband?
Yeah. No, not that one. The other one. But I also feel like he was like, you deserve better than this. You're better than
yeah.
this.
Yeah.
And like any one of us, excuse me, that was my cord. Any one of us that is approached in that way.
Yeah.
Because you know that there's compassion in it.
Yes.
You're not just coming down on somebody and saying,
yes.
hey, you're doing the wrong thing.
And you're going
and
to
you
hell.
Suck. Yeah. No, it's. You have such great potential.
Yes.
This, I can see how this is holding you back.
Yeah.
I can see the hold that it has on you.
Yeah.
And if you could just get the freedom and seek,
yes.
seek Jesus.
Yes.
You're going to see what I see.
Yes.
And it's not me, but it's Christ in me that sees that in you. The Holy Spirit can see that potential. When you're giving a word of knowledge to people, it's like you're communicating. You're a vessel, right?
You're not just saying what's wrong, but you're also bringing the answer within
you
the
prophesy
same
on
thing.
Them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like if you, so you can't just go around to people
no.
and be like, you're going to hell. You're going to hell. You're going to hell. You have to bring the answer. It's always
yeah.
has to be coupled with whatever thing that the Holy Spirit's telling you to reveal. So just today I did a devotion with my kids this morning about the power of words.
Yeah.
And God is activated by his word. Okay.
Yeah.
So if you have a tough sit, this is, so this devotional was what?
5 minutes ago.
Like
12 hours ago.
How long have you been delivered?
Oh.
15 years.
Okay, so this devotional was is 15 years
mm-hmm.
after that time of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And God brought me back into remembrance of that. That's crazy to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know, I didn't know then what I know now.
Right.
I went in to that very raw, with very limited scripture, very limited word, very limited even experience of what I knew God was. I only had like little touches at like youth group events or like, you know, certain church services in my life, but I never had what I currently have now.
Yeah.
And I did what it was saying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even know that I was doing that at that time.
Right.
So in the devotion this morning, it was talking about how God is activated by his word and that his word shall not return to him void.
Mm-hmm.
And if you only speak the problem,
yeah,
God can do nothing with that.
Yeah,
you have to speak the answer.
Yeah.
You have to speak what you want to see. You mm-hmm. have to speak what he sees.
Right.
Because if you don't speak that stuff and you're only speaking the problem, he can't do anything with those words.
Right.
So with Joe, I started life as saying, you are an alcoholic, you are mean, you are a jerk, you are this, you're
yeah.
that, you're snaky, you're cold. And I would just speak those things constantly in fights.
Right.
That's all I would say. I hate you. Like mm-hmm. just all of these things. God can do nothing with those words.
No.
And he it was can all do emotion.
Nothing. Yes, he can mm-hmm. do nothing with those words. And all of a sudden, when I started to go to church, I started to switch everything that I hated about him into the positive.
Yeah.
And so every time he would upset me, I would say, I thank you that you're such a mighty man of God. Thank you for being a mighty man of God. You are a mighty man of God. You mm-hmm. are a mighty man
and
of God.
And sometimes you were antagonistic with it.
And I would just say that
you're
constantly.
A mighty man of God.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I would speak those words out constantly. Mm-hmm. And 15 years later, in a morning devotional with my two kids, God is like, look what you did back then.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you two kids right now, you need to get a hold of this
yeah.
because it's huge. Because if you don't like certain things in your life, if you don't like certain people in your life, by you just gushing out of the mouth and saying what you don't like about life and what you don't like about this person and what you don't like about your job, and you're just gushing and gushing and gushing, your situation is never going to change
no.
because God can do nothing with those words. But if you start to flip the script,
speak of things that are not as though they were.
And start thanking God for things that you don't currently have yet. Like I thanked him for a mighty man of God, even though that was not what was standing in front of me.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have to understand that the idea of even not stepping out in truth to keep the peace doesn't have anything to do with our relationship with God. It has to do with our relationships to comfort in emotions.
Mm-hmm.
That's all emotionally based. When you go into Jude, everybody should spend like a week in Jude, which means you'd have to read it like 20 times because it's very short.
If you don't love me at my Jude 2, you don't deserve me at my Proverbs 31.
Right. Well, in Jude 1:14, it was of these people, moreover, that Enoch in the seventh generation from Adam prophesied when he said, behold, the Lord comes with his myriads of holy ones, 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the impious unholy ones of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in such an ungodly way, and of all the severe, abusive, jarring things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are inveterate murmurers, grumblers, who complain of their lot in life, going mm-hmm. after their own desires, controlled by their passions, emotions mm-hmm. again.
Mm-hmm.
Their talk is boastful and arrogant, and they claim to admire men's persons and pay people flattering compliments to gain advantage. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions which were made by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. They told you beforehand, in the last days, in the end time, there will be scoffers who seek to gratify their own unholy desires, following after their own ungodly passions. It is these who are agitators, setting up distinctions and causing divisions, merely sensual creatures, carnal, worldly-minded people, devoid of Holy Spirit and destitute of any higher spiritual life. But you, beloved, this is where we learn exactly how to stand in everything that you've said to this point. But you, beloved, in 20, build yourselves up, founded on your most holy faith, make progress, rise like an edifice, higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Guard and keep yourselves in the love of God. Expect patiently. Wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, which will bring you unto life eternal, and refute, so as to convict some who dispute with you, and on some have mercy who waver in doubt. Strive to save others, snatching them out of the fire. On others take pity, but with fear, loathing even the garment spotted by the flesh and polluted by their sensuality. So that tells you right there that through that praying yourself up in your most holy faith in the Holy Spirit, you're going to have discernment. Because that was a few different structural social statures that people are going to have that you're going to encounter. Strive to save others, snatching them out of the fire. On others take pity, but with fear, loathing even the garment spotted by the flesh and polluted by their sensuality. So don't put on what they have on. If you're doing like inner healing or something like that, don't think you have to wear what you're bringing them out of. You need to loathe that thing, because that's been keeping them down. Now to him who is able to keep you without stumbling or slipping or falling, and to present you as unblemished, blameless, and faultless before the presence of his glory and triumphant joy and exaltation with unspeakable ecstatic delight. Jesus wants to have unspeakable and ecstatic delight in you. When you learn how to walk in that discernment through these areas where you are a peacemaker instead of a self-proclaimed peacekeeper, to the one and only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be the glory, splendor, majesty, might, and dominion, and power and authority before all time, now and forever, unto all the ages of eternity. Amen. So when we think about all the emotion tied up in those things that we speak. When I have a word for somebody, when I have the Holy Spirit, especially if it's something that's going to bring some sort of controversy with somebody, maybe it's somebody that's living in an adverse lifestyle to procreation. Maybe they're homosexual, or they think they're trans or something. Maybe they have you know, body shaming issues towards themselves. You know, the Bible says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. In 1 John, it says that you love him because he first loved you.
Yeah.
Right? So why do we love God? Because we come to the revelation that he loved us before, when we were in our sin.
Yeah.
Enough to sacrifice his only son for us. So now all of a sudden, when we apply that blood of Jesus and that thought of and the reality of what he did. You were talking about that guy and disrespecting the blood of Jesus just like a week ago, and Preston, you showed me that video. And it was like, now we have this understanding of just how precious that is. And now we apply that to ourselves. And then going forward, when we want to love our neighbor, if I have to deal with somebody that's headed for hell, eternal damnation because of something they want me to affirm, you know, a belief system or an ideology that they've taken on, some sort of they've taken on some sort of personality that God didn't create for them, that is in complete opposition with everything that their talents aim towards. And now all of a sudden I have to speak out. I have to be in love. Yeah. I have to love them. Yeah. So now all of a sudden I look at them and I'm like, man, I cannot, I can't, I don't want to hurt them.
Yeah.
But I can't be the only one in the room that lets them think that this is okay.
So don't you think too, it has a lot to do with timing?
It does.
And so you have to pray, you have to be prayed up all the time, like you said, in your most holy faith.
And don't second guess timing, because if you're the only one there with truth that's speaking it or has the conviction to speak it, that's probably the right time.
Can I read something?
Yeah.
It's Proverbs 16. You ever read it?
I don't know. I'll find out.
But I feel like it goes along with this. Okay. And it's not that long, so I'm just going to read the, I'm going to read the whole thing.
Do it.
Do it.
Okay. The plans of the mind, this is the Amplified Classic, by the way, Proverbs 16. The plans of the mind and orderly thinking belong to man, but from the Lord comes the wise answer of the tongue. Mm. Mm. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits, the thoughts and intents of the heart. Roll your works upon the Lord. Commit and trust them wholly to him, and he will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to his will, and so shall your plans be established and succeed. Mm. The Lord has made everything to accommodate itself and contribute to its own end and his own purpose. Even the wicked are fitted for their role for the day of calamity and evil. Everyone proud and arrogant in heart is disgusting, hateful, and exceedingly offensive to the Lord. Mm. Whoa. Ouch.
Yeah, because sometimes people are just super excited to give a corrective word.
Yeah, they are.
And it sends me into like, I'm like, God, I was delivered a panic attack. Yeah. And I feel a panic attack coming on, so this better be you.
Yeah. It says, be assured, I pledge it, they will not go unpunished. That's what he says about proud and arrogant people in heart. Wow. By mercy and love, truth and fidelity to God and man, not by sacrificial offerings, iniquity is purged out of the heart, and by the reverent, worshipful fear of the Lord, men depart from and avoid evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his
M&Ms.
When a man this is verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Mm-hmm. Better is a little with righteousness, uprightness in every area and relation and right standing with God than great revenues in injustice. Mm. A man's mind plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps and makes them pure. Divinely directed decisions are on the lips of the king, and his mouth should not transgress in judgment. A just balance scale and scales. Oh, let me do that again. A just balance and scales are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work, established on his eternal principles. It's an abomination to God and men for kings to commit wickedness, for a throne is established and made secure by righteousness, moral and spiritual rectitude in every area and relation. Right and just lips are the delight of a king, and he loves him who speaks what is right.
Yes.
The wrath of a king is as messengers of death, but a wise man will pacify it. In the light of a king's countenance is life, and his favor is as a cloud bringing the spring rain. How much better it is to get skillful and godly wisdom than gold.
Come on.
And to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. The highway of the upright turns aside from evil. He who guards his way preserves his life. Pride goes before destruction. See, that's the verse everybody knows from this chapter. And a haughty spirit before a fall. Mm-hmm. Better it is to be of humble spirit with the meek and poor. Meek, by the way, means you possess the power to do something and you choose not to.
Correct.
And poor than to divide the spoil with the proud. He who deals wisely and heeds God's word and counsel shall find good, and whoever leans on, trusts in, and is confident in the Lord, happy, blessed, and fortunate is he. The wise in heart are called prudent, understanding and knowing, and winsome speech increases learning in both the speaker and the listener. Mm. This should be like the communications doctrine.
Serious.
Understanding is a wellspring of life to those who have it, but to give instruction to fools is folly. Mm. The mind of the wise instructs his mouth and adds learning and persuasiveness to his lips. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the mind and healing to the body. There is a way that seems right to a man and appears straight before him, but at the end of it is the way of death. The appetite of the laborer works for him, for the need of his mouth urges him on. A worthless man devises and digs up mischief in his lips, and in his lips there is as a scorching fire. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. You guys, this like addresses so much.
I was going to say, I feel like we could do a full podcast on just Proverbs 16 because you've said so many things that like I want to go back and talk about.
How do we even break it down? The exceedingly grasping, covetous and violent man entices his neighbor. Isn't this what you were talking about? Leading him in a way that is not good. He who shuts his eyes to devise perverse things and who compresses his lips as if in concealment brings evil to pass.
Whoa. That right there is the difference between a peacekeeper and a peacemaker.
Yeah.
Yeah, read that again.
He who shuts his eyes to devise perverse things and who compresses his lips as if in concealment brings evil to pass. Like this?
Yep.
Gross. Can't ever make that face again.
Well, a lot of times,
but when, that's when what you, I do.
When we as a people group decide something's uncomfortable, you know, like I'm not gonna pick a fight with Uncle Stanley tonight at Christmas and wreck Christmas over pro-life or you know freedom of choice. We are there to be truth bearers.
Yeah.
And we can't bear false witness, but we do have to have the Holy Spirit and love.
Yes. And the timing, because so he even just did a post today where it was like this guy making a weird face and you wanting to say something, but Holy Spirit says now is not the time. Like that's exactly what we're talking about here. Like it's not our job to sit and just keep our mouth shut all the time, but at the same time, even in Proverbs 16, it talks about scales and balances. Like God is a God of order and he doesn't want you out there just being willy-nilly. You still need to listen and discern for when that timing is right.
Sometimes when you look at scripture, when it comes to confronting somebody, it talks often about taking the person, calling them into a place of meeting, finding somebody that has no opinion.
Right.
That's trustworthy. Not somebody that you gossip with.
Yeah.
Somebody that's trustworthy, they don't have anything to gain or lose.
Level-headed.
From the conversation. Yeah. You bring them in, you confront the person. You give forgiveness a chance. You know, it's like a spiritual washing of the feet at that moment. If they decide, you know, if you go Paul's writings, if they decide that they're not going to change, he would outcast them. Because he couldn't afford for their poor doctrine, their loose doctrine, and their entitlements to affect the root system of baby Christians coming in. Because a little leaven leavens the whole loaf.
Yeah.
I had three more verses.
Oh, do you? Real go quick. For it.
So, first of all, it says hoary, which is H-O-A-R-Y, which means old. Okay. Or like aged.
Okay.
So I'm providing that first because it says the hoary head is a crown of beauty and glory. If it is found in the way of righteousness, moral and spiritual rectitude in every area and relation. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his own spirit than he who takes a city. The lot is cast into the lap, but the decision is wholly of the Lord. Even the events that seem accidental are really ordered by him. That's how it ends.
Yeah.
We'll have to unpack that someday.
In Luke 6:26. Woe to, alas for you, when everyone speaks fairly and handsomely of you and praises you. For even so their forefathers did to the false prophets.
Beware when all men speak well of you. It's the verse,
But I say to you, who are listening now to me, in order to heed, make it practice to love your enemies, treat well do good to, act nobly towards those who detest and pursue you with hatred, invoke blessings upon and pray for the happiness of those who curse you, implore God's blessing, favor upon those who abuse you, who revile and reproach and disparage and high-handedly misuse you. To the one who strikes you on the jaw or the cheek, offer the other. And from him who takes away your outer garment, do not withhold your undergarment as well. The posture that we have to have, that's talking about a totally different circumstance than you bringing truth into to correct or to help bring somebody out of something. That's a situation where you're being persecuted, or where people, you know, are talking about you. Mm-hmm. Where when we're talking about, you know, you're in a situation in the body of Christ where, like, the situations we've been talking about too are not like us downtown on the street with an unbeliever.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The scripture is not even written for that. They don't have knowledge of it. So you can't force scripture on somebody that doesn't know it or have a history with it. It'll be
you can't
like
judge
speaking,
someone against a standard that they're unaware
right.
of.
Right. It'd be like speaking Egyptian to them. Yeah. They're going to be like, what? Yeah. What? That doesn't even make sense.
Which is why a lot of the people that like would get a bad rap by holding the signs that say like, you're all going to hell. For a lot of the unbelievers, they're like, who are these people?
And there's some that get reached that way.
Yeah.
And there's some that I've met that need that kind of structure to keep from falling back into temptation. So I'm not against anybody. It's just maybe not my way. Maybe not the way that God's brought me into the kingdom. But what
we're talking about when there's sin in the camp.
What I propose to you is if you're in a situation where you're standing in your kitchen at Christmas and your sister-in-law's had a little too much wine and she's on the worship team and she's talking about, you know, sexual vice or something like that in front of your brother, it might be a good indication that you are there for truth, or all of a sudden you're
this
somebody
is just
in your
a for
family.
Instance that didn't happen.
No, but somebody in your family, you know, they're talking about their kids' pronouns or something and how they're going to just kind of go along with it because it's a phase. And you have the Holy Spirit well up in you and put a word, a right now word in your heart that if they let this go, it's gonna take roots and become something that is a generational curse and not just like a phase.
Yeah.
You know, and then instead of saving it for the car ride home on your husband's ears and letting him know, or your wife's ears, of how wrong the situation is, you step in the authority given by God in that situation. And even if people get a little upset, the next day when they wake up and the Holy Spirit's working on their heart, they're going to be in a different place. Mm-hmm. So we can't withhold truth in the name of keeping peace when we're called to be a peacemaker.
Thank you so much for joining us for today's episode. We are so blessed to have the privilege to share with you. If you haven't already, please connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. You can find us by searching at The Real King Podcast. That's at T-H-E Real King Podcast. The Real King Podcast is recorded in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. It is hosted by Joe and Heidi King, who are joined each week by Christina Santamaria as a moderator and contributor. It is produced and edited by Joe and Heidi King and Carlos and Christina Santamaria. All content is under copyright and all rights are reserved.